Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Back to Basics. I am still engaged in the long and perilous journey of being Pastor Don, and I am joined by the magnificent, the wonderful, the I am running out of adjectives, Courtney Fraley. Yay! So,
It is I.
I know. Surprising, right?
Right?
So today we are going to be digging into Genesis chapter 47, picking up from where we left off with Joseph and his family now being in Egypt. And where do we end at the end of 46? He brought his family to Egypt. They settled in Goshen. They said, "Don't tell anybody that you're really shepherds. Just say you tend to livestock." Oh God, ne never let them find out.
Isn't that the same thing?
I don't know. I guess there's a distinction in ancient Egypt anyway. Couldn't tell you. But in 47, we're getting here now the process of settling. Jacob gets a face to face with the big man, or alternatively, gets to meet his husband's side piece, either way. Or his son's side piece, I should say. Yeah, depending on which interpretation of the text you want to take.
That's fantastic.
Ancient times be
And
with you.
tracks completely with everything I know both about pharaohs and the ridiculous amount of gay coding that we've uncovered in this section.
You know, if Joseph were any more like Marie Antoinette, I would expect there to be clockwork androids. Or sorry, Madame de Pompadour. Sorry, wrong one. Oh, it's the wrong clockwork android episode reference. That's how bad I was. So yes, Joseph is
Yes.
basically Madame de Pompadour here. So that's what we're dealing with. All right, so we're going to pick up from here, the arrival, and I am, as I'm going to read from Alter's translation. The rest of you that are playing the home game, I might recommend reading the NRSVUE. It's online. You can find it Bible Gateway, other places you like. Links may or may not be provided in the description, depending on whether or not I remember to put the links in the description. So let's go ahead and read. I'm going to read from the Alter translation this time, and I'm going to have you guys read along on the home game in the NRSVUE, and you can play a fun little game of spot the differences and pretend that you are in the waiting room of a dentist office. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 47. And Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks and their cattle and all that is theirs have come from the land of Canaan, and here they are in the land of Goshen." And from the pick of his brothers, he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is it you do?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, we and our fathers as well." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, because the famine is grave in the land of Canaan. And so let your servants, pray, dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying, "Let them dwell in the land of Goshen, and if you know there are able men among them, make them masters of the livestock over what is mine." And Jacob and his sons had come to Egypt to Joseph, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, heard. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. In the best of the land, settle your father and your brothers. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen." And Joseph brought Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the
Wait, wait,
days?"
wait, 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 wait. Sorry, there's like a ton missing.
Hang on. I don't think I'm missing anything.
Well, like verse 8, Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the years of your life?"
Yeah,
That's
that's where I
completely not
was.
there.
No, I
Okay.
was just reading that.
Oh, okay.
Like,
It must have been that 7 was just very long and covered. Okay, sorry,
yeah,
continue.
seven is quite long.
This is one of those cases where there's a lot of difference. It's just
Yeah,
in
and it's also worth noting too that like the phraseology of Hebrew when translated into English gets awful freaking repetitive. So it's easy, really easy to lose track of where you're at, especially when you're looking at a couple of translations at the same time. Tell you what. Get yourself ordained as a pastor and try to read multiple versions side by side. Like you got four lined up at the same time, trying to keep track of where you are. It's a mess. Anyway, continuing
Yes,
from
sorry. Please do continue.
let's see, from verse 8. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojournings are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained the days of the years of my fathers in their days of sojourning. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from Pharaoh's presence. And Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a holding in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph sustained his father and brothers and all his father's household with bread down to the mouths of the little ones. And there was no bread in all the earth, for the famine was very great. And the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph collected all the silver to be found in the lands of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, in return for the provisions they were buying. And Joseph brought the silver to the house of Pharaoh. And the silver of the land of Egypt and of the land of Canaan ran out. And all Egypt came to Joseph, saying, let us have bread, for why should we die before your eyes? For the silver is gone. And Joseph said, let me have your livestock, that I may give you in return for your livestock, if the silver is gone. And they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them bread in return for the horses, and the stocks of sheep, and the stocks of cattle, and their donkeys, and he carried them forward with bread in return for all their livestock that year. And that year ran out, and they came to him the next year and said, we shall not conceal from my lord that the silver has run out, and the animal stocks are my lord's. Nothing is left for our lord but our carcasses and our farmland. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our farmland? Take possession of us and our farmland in return for bread, and we with our farmland will be slaves to Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, and that farmland not turn to desert. And Joseph took possession of all the farmland of Egypt for Pharaoh, for each Egyptian sold his field as the famine was harsh upon them, and the land became Pharaoh's. And the people moved town by town from one end of the border of Egypt to the other. Only the farmland of the priests he did not take in possession, for the priests had a fixed allotment from Pharaoh, and they ate from their allotment that Pharaoh had given them. Therefore they did not sell their farmland. And Joseph said to the people, look, I have taken possession of you this day, with your farmland for Pharaoh. Here is seed for you, and so the land. And when the harvest come, you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four parts shall be yours for seeding the field and for your food, for those in your households and your little ones to eat. And they said, you have kept us alive. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord in being Pharaoh's slaves. And Joseph made it a fixed law to this very day over the farmland of Egypt that Pharaoh should have a fifth. Only the farmland of the priests, it alone, did not become Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they took holdings in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, and Jacob's days in the years of his life were 147 years. And Israel's time to die drew near, and he called for his son, for Joseph, and said to him, if, pray, I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand, pray, under my thigh, and act towards me with steadfast kindness. Pray, do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie with my fathers, carry me from Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have spoken. And he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. And Israel bowed at the head of the bed.
So we've got some interesting redistribution of property going on here.
You know, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm just thinking about our dear boy, Joseph Bezos here, and what he's trying to pull off. And like, it's hard for us sometimes to level this kind of criticism on a biblical character. Yeah. But what he's doing isn't just redistributing the wealth. He's basically making company towns out of everything. You know, he's, he has basically, through his God-given power to interpret dreams, he has secured a great deal of social and political power. And when the time comes, he is using this to take from everybody their means of self-sustaining and make them completely dependent on and in service to him and the Pharaoh.
I bet that won't turn on him at any point.
No, I'm sure that'll work out well for everybody in the end. No, but like it's worth noting Joseph is still a servant of God, and God's repeatedly known for speaking of love and generosity and selflessness. And everything he's doing here is what we in even the mainstream church might call good stewardship of resources. You know, he's taking a price for what he's given, a fair price. He's working with the people who say, we have nothing. Well, I'll take this instead. Always a fair price, but I'm always willing to negotiate and make sure everybody gets fed. He seems magnanimous with what he's doing, but the long-term effects of his magnanimity are to basically make slaves of everybody. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Honestly, this sounds a little bit more... How terrible is it that this sounds like these people were still more connected to the fruits of the other labor and, like, self-sufficient effectively than most people are today? Yeah. Because they still kept 4/5 of what they were farming.
At this point.
Yeah, at least at this point. Yeah, these systems...
This is actually like a big deal. Like, fascist slave owning systems don't come about overnight. Like, yeah, they keep 4/5 of their shit now, but spoiler alert, when we get into Exodus, 4/5 is not what they're getting. They're getting liquid bread and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it, honestly, like, I'm trying to find ways to cast it in a positive light, but I'm hearing and reading all this and my brain's going, Ireland.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like the what
him
is known
my
the,
ass.
For those of you who are unaware or just don't simply have any Irish ancestry behind you, what we're referring to here is what those in the colonized West call the potato famine, and those who lived through it call the Great Dying. Because
yeah, they had potato blight, but they still would have been able to eat if they weren't forced to ship the vast majority of their food off.
Exactly.
To England.
England's whole perspective was, well, those Irish that just eat potatoes, so you'll only eat potatoes. And like nowadays, everyone's like, well, the Irish, they were so obsessed with potatoes that they couldn't possibly bear to eat anything else. So they all died when the potatoes got sick. No, that's not what happened. Like, no. Anybody who's ever tried to cook an Irish dish knows there's more in it than potatoes. Let me tell you.
And frankly, if you've got to pick a single item to try and live on, you can do a lot worse than a potato. It's got,
you're not wrong,
a lot, like, of what you need in it.
This is my
potato
Irish
with
heritage
some
showing.
Some dairy, you're good.
Yeah, this is my Irish heritage showing, but man, you can definitely stretch a potato. But
yeah, but not if there's a blight on, you know.
Right? Like... You know, and this is literally the same thing happening here, is he's using control over the lands to get more control. He's using control over foodstuffs to get more control. And in this time, you can imagine, and it really seems to be the case, that Joseph sees himself as something of a benevolent tyrant, himself and, you know, his, you know, bedmate Pharaoh. They see themselves as somewhat benevolent tyrants. Like, yeah, we'll take control over everything, but you'll keep most of it. Like, we will administer it for you, but, like, we're not doing it because we hate you or hurt you or want to control. We're doing it because we want to help, and control is our tool for that. And, you know, if it had stayed that way, if they had set it up so that, okay, we're going to take control until the end of the famine, and then I will relinquish my powers and stand down, and I won't turn into a hooded monstrosity shooting lightning at people. Like, if they'd done something like that, probably would have been fine. But
I will stand. I did see what you did there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Pharaoh Palpatine and Joe Vader here. Look, I may be a Star Trek geek, but I'm not above making a Star Wars reference when it suits my purpose.
Joe Vader. There's another t-shirt idea. All right, and continue.
So yeah, so like that's the bulk of it here. It really is just Joseph and Pharaoh kind of accidentally inventing end-stage capitalism centuries before it would ever be an issue.
Why don't we just skip all of the other stuff and go straight to the late stage capitalism?
Yeah.
Worst idea ever.
Exactly. I'm an interpreter of dreams. That makes me a prophet. Let's think thousands of years ahead and let's do what they're doing then. Late stage capitalism.
It does not work that way.
No, it does not. But so yeah, so that's basically the gist of his famine mechanics here. But I think Like, there's a lot of fun language play and stuff that's happening here. A lot of kind of minor details that are going on as well. One of the things I like, and I'm gonna draw this from Alter's text here as well. If you look at like verse 4, in the NRSV UE, verse 4 reads, "They said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to reside as aliens in the land, for there's no pasture for your servants' flocks, the famine is severe in the land. Now we ask you, let your servants settle in the land of Goshen.'" The idea between like reside as aliens and settle seems pretty close to synonymous here. But the Hebrew, and this is the reason why Alter translated those terms as sojourn and dwell respectively, is because sojourn is a transit verb. "We came to be in your place temporarily and for a time." Now, if you cast yourself in the eyes of somebody in their kind of late 70s right now, looking back on America of the 1950s, the idea of reside as an alien may seem a transitory term. But speaking of someone whose entire life is spent residing as an alien, and in a world of late stage capitalism where people go where the work is and try to settle there and live their lives there, reside as an alien is at the very least no longer a transit form.
No.
At least not necessarily. So like there is that kind of wordplay that's happening here. And the same goes again in verse 9, where Jacob starts talking about the days of the years of my sojournings, where he's talking about, he's using the term sojournings, not just to describe his travels from birth to death, basically. Like he's gone through all these different stages. He's been a nomad his entire life. He's not just describing that. He's also being poetic and describing life as a motion of travel from birth to death. Like, it's multi-layered poetry that's happening here, and English sucks for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything that poetic is unlikely to translate between languages. I mean, not everything is going to be Wambulance and what's the Japanese equivalent? QQ something?
Yeah. Something.
You know, not everything's going to translate that perfectly.
So. Yeah. And so, like, a lot of the rest of the verse is basically just that. It's...
Did Jacob legit complain that 130 years was few?
Yeah, and I can kind of see his point.
Well, I guess when you look at the standard...
Yeah, remember his context. Like, he is the shortest lived of his line, as will continue to be the case until people are living to their 80s. Like, you know, now. Yeah, that is within the context of the biblical narrative. Like, this is Joseph actually, or sorry, not Joseph, Jacob, calling to mind, like, actually saying the quiet part out loud. Like, this has been part of the narration aspect of the Bible. But this is the first time someone's actually come out and said, no, we are all dying younger. Like, that's actually a thing that's happening. That's not a translational error. That's legit happening. So, like, that is actually kind of an interesting point to that. So, anything else
we got to tackle in this? I feel like we've kind of pieced right through it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover? I actually kind of dug that he was like, oh, you know, bury me back home.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah, no, it really does, particularly for Jacob. And the relationship he had with his family and his, like, his reconciliation with Esau early on, and like the relationship he had with his father and stuff like that. And, you know, also maybe I don't want my bones to be buried here when all of this comes to get paid in a couple more generations.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly got to be some foreshadowing there as well. But yeah, so interestingly, it was only 17 years that Jacob was in Egypt before his death came about. Like, he was pretty old at the end of the story.
Relatively short period of time, yeah.
Yeah, like, this was really at the end of his life that this all finally came to pass. Which, you know, there's a whole sermon to be had there about the patience necessary to see what needs to happen come to fruition. Like, sometimes you don't see that until it's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. That pretty much gets us to the end of it, then. Anything else you want to tear into?
No, I think we're good. I'm getting excited. We're really winding down Genesis here.
We've got 48, 49, and 50. There are, my friends, And I can promise you this, we're not splitting up any more chapters for the rest of Genesis. So there are only three more
stretch.
Episodes to go before we have completed Genesis. Now, I am not 100% sure about air dates on this one as yet, because we're doing this a little bit out of order. But once we've finished recording for all of our Genesis stuff, we're going to be doing a big live stream event to kick off Exodus 1. And that live streaming event may actually happen before our last Genesis episode is actually aired.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, it almost certainly will.
Yeah, which means that you'll have a chance to get a sneak preview of how insane Exodus is going to be before we even finish getting through all of our Genesis materiel. Now, I will say, for those of you who are the more calm and sedate type who would prefer to listen to the podcast when it's released and don't ever bother with this newfangled YouTube stuff that the youngins are involved with, you may miss the live stream event, but the Exodus 1 live stream will be edited down into a normal length episode and released as well, so you're not going to miss much. But if you do happen to be up with the hip new lingo of the last 20 years and want to join us on YouTube,
oh, the God, idea I'm that old. Someone would be into podcasts but find YouTube too newfangled is bizarre.
You know, it's not as bizarre as you think, particularly because churches have been using podcast distribution as a way to get their sermons out for such a long time. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of folks who are acclimated with the idea of podcasting because the churches know how to release on an RSS feed, and that comes up to my phone. I don't have to do anything. So there are a lot of older folk who are more acquainted with podcasting than they are with YouTube. But specifically within Christian environments. I'm not talking about like game streamers or anything like that. You're not finding 70-year-old video game streamers who don't know what YouTube is, but are like living the podcast life.
Now I need a 70-year-old like Let's Play YouTuber in my life. That sounds fantastic.
If you want to see an old man play video games online with a live stream, let me direct you to our other program, Pastor Plays, where I occasionally do exactly that. I'm an old. Anyway.
You are an old.
I am very much an old, certified and guaranteed. So,
I'm about to say that because I'm older than you.
Yeah, but you neither look it nor act it, which is really to your benefit. So anyway, for those of you who've listened to us rant for this long, thanks for joining in. Like I said, we've got a live stream event that has probably happened already by the time this has come to pass. But if it has, you can go find it on the YouTube page. Wink, wink. Also, you can come join us on Discord, which is where all of our conversations and stuff are happening. And we've been talking about this stuff for forever by now. So come join us there. We're an actual honest to God church. We have members. We have like congregational meetings and like leadership teams and votes and an actual honest to God physical church too, which is kind of cool for those of you who happen to live in Japan and want to come join us there. But most importantly, we're a community, and we're a community that started online. So wherever you are and whatever you're going through, you can be a part of the community too. You're welcome. We would love to see you be part of the conversation. But if nothing else, thou must be obedient to the whim of Courtney and do
like, share, and subscribe.
Exactly.
Oh, and comment below. Especially if you're mad at us, like tell us that we're going to hell and that we're
we're all about them rage clicks.
Like the stuff that we have people tell us we hate the church. Cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we get it. Yeah, you hate the church, you're a cult. Like, come on, we are a denominational Reformed Protestant church, part of the Reformed Church in America. You can't get any more mainstream than that.
Yep.
All right. So that being said, y'all have yourselves a wonderful week, and we will see you on the next episode in our countdown to the end of Genesis. Take care, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.